of good. Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Welcome back to the Light of Day, coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network. It's Saturday, May 15th, 2010. We got Peter Kuehlin or Kuehlin on the line from Florida. I'll have to ask him how to pronounce that after my soundbite I'm going to play here. And we'll probably end up bringing John DiNardo on here in the last half hour because of what happened at the beginning of the broadcast with that log me in, disconnected me there. Anyway, here's the soundbite, and we'll bring Peter back on. Enjoy it.
In the early 1980s, and I've known about this for a little while, the Washington Post report on this, but you found a lot of other reports in addition to the Washington Post report and a few others about this potential 10th planet or some sort of mystery object.
December 81, Astronomy Magazine launched a article called Search for the 10th Planet, where they, you know, scientists since the, 1800s, early 1800s actually, have known of a body out there that caused a wobble in the orbit of Uranus and Neptune. They were always aware that there was something out there since the early 1800s. They started looking for it, and back in December 81, they ran an article in Astronomy Magazine called Search for the 10th Planet. Basically, they were talking about, you know, the science behind why there would be another planet out there. And it wasn't long after that 1982 New York Times story called Some Kind of Mystery Object is Really There. Newsweek ran a story that same month about the sun having a dark star companion like a brown dwarf. The majority of stars out there are either in binary or trinary systems where they're orbiting other stars. So that would make us the exception. So I try and stay at a conjecture of what it is, because it really doesn't matter what it is. I mean, whatever it is, it causes a lot of damage. Water events cause
the whole global warming deception. Man-made global warming is a cover story to distract us, I guess, from the real, even uglier truth. And that is, yes, the ocean levels are going to rise when Planet X approaches the tenth planet. That's going to cause some sort of a geomagnetic reversal that will unleash this huge body of water near the equator.
In the 90s, I was told about this stuff. A female Air Force officer, she's a weather officer. She's stationed with the headquarters of the U.S. Space Command, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado Springs, Colorado. She worked for the Global Space Operations Division, the Weather Operations Branch. And she says, well, just promise don't tell anybody, but it's classified. She saw a world map and United States map. She said the coasts were like 15, 25 miles in. She said the state of Michigan's coasts were pretty much gone. And then by Lake Erie, that was gone. And then she Cuba and Bahama Islands were gone. Aleutian Islands were gone. And the tip of Chile and Argentina, the southern tip was gone.
You see, when Charles F. Richter developed the Richter scale, he died around 1984. The powers that be knew what would be happening 25 years in the future, which is right now, which was more earthquakes and more severe earthquakes. And they wanted to keep people asleep. So they did that one full number downgrade, which is 1,000%.
John, I would like to mention that I think we should begin to warn our audience that they should start really thinking about and working together with us in preparing for solar storms that I suspect and many other people suspect are going to be occurring this year or next year. Solar storms that could be so severe that two major catastrophes will result. One would be the destruction of our power grids, and that would throw us back into a primitive lifestyle. We would be overnight forced into, ancient ways of living. We've got a lot of evidence to indicate that these solar storms are coming soon. We could talk about Planet X and how it is exciting the sun and beginning to excite the sun after its this two-year lull in solar activity, which I believe was due to Planet X passing below Jupiter, and Planet X and its hordes of surrounding comets interacting electrically with Jupiter, drawing electrical fire away from the sun and toward Jupiter. But that was just a temporary lull before the storm. Now we can expect solar blasting. How are we going to prepare to live without power? Number two, how are we going to prepare to live when we are being blasted by the sun with temperatures scorching, burning up, people dying on the surface of the Earth from the intense solar blast?
We have the dwarf star returning below the ecliptic. There's nothing living on it. It's a dead dwarf star that never ignited into a star. We're not talking about the return of the Nephilim. Believe me, whatever beings are visiting or have been here and have been meddling with our world have never gone away. They've always been.
Once the powers of being found out about this matter we're talking about, the 10th planet, they incorporated this into their centuries-old plans that they've had in place for at least 200 years. They incorporated this into their pre-existing plans to take advantage of it and prepare for it. What they plan on, here's what they plan on, Jimmy. They plan on getting ready for these events, going through them and coming out on the other side with their shiny new world order intact and ready to rule the planet. Those remaining alive, they intend to control every aspect of their life, and that's why the ID cards and possibly microchipping would be taking place, is to have total control over every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, of course, and once that happens, then some of the other points you make, the curfews, restrictions on our travel, sales on firearms, ammunition, alcohol, fuel, will all be, of course, curtailed.
We'll reflect miles inland in continental United States, Canada, possibly elsewhere around the world. We're talking a flood of biblical proportions. Government agencies are aware of this. They've shared this with certain personnel. The U.S. Navy has apparently shared this with their service people. And there are apparently safe havens. The U.S. Government has been very busy constructing huge underground bases, if you will, in order to preserve a government to some degree. Okay, Lewis mentioned Downsview and the base up there. Now, I don't know if you know what's going on up here in Canada. Can we extrapolate or infer that this is being handled the same way up here? They're building underground bases for continuity of government type scenario?
Well, of course. It's the nature of any large organization to take care of their own people.
Well, there's the bite, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Going to bring Peter back on. You want to finish up there with what you were saying then, Peter? Go ahead.
All right. So I got in my hand here an article from Lee Rogers where did I put it? If you'd see me here in my kitchen, I got about 20 or 30 articles printed out, laying all over the place. And this is an article published 2nd of February last year by Lee Rogers. The website is roguegovernment.com. And I'm just going to read a few lines. He says, there's no doubt that the government is preparing nationwide systems of detention facilities. Right? And we're not really sure if they're detention facilities or they could also be used as relocation camps or centers. That is what John Moore is saying would be true, that we're going to have major tsunamis and a lot of coastline disappearing. We're also going to see millions of refugees, and the government is preparing to take care of those refugees. Now, in the event of such a catastrophe, there'll be people looking to survive, and they're not necessarily take care of their fellow brother. So there is these detention camps, and Homeland Security and FEMA are prepared for that. Actually, the construction branch of Halliburton got a contract awarded in 2006 of close to $400 million for to build those camps. I mean, Sheldon, literally, I could read off the articles for hours and hours, and you'd be amazed what kind of construction is already in place. They're well prepared for themselves. They have a lot of underground facilities. You've probably heard that Denver is housing the CIA, the headquarters of the CIA, and I suspect that they already moved into under the new World Airport in Denver, because I don't think that they will have a building in downtown Denver. Also, the National Security Agency moved to a small place in the desert, some 30 miles south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And there is a lot of you uncovered that NASA is relocating their personnel, and that they're closing down a lot of their locations, which are on the coast. They don't have any space program for the next 5 years, I think. And
let me comment on that, Peter. For folks that may be new to this show, I discovered a NASA contract here, which was awarded to a subsidiary of Prudential Relocation Services, and I found this out on my own accord after John Moore really woke me up to this Planet X issue. This contract started August 31st, 2007, and they had up to 3 years to move their people, which would have been up until September of last year, and then there's 3 one-year optional extension periods if so desired. And here we only have 3 space shuttle flights left, so I got to thinking, and now Obama's canceling the program that's supposed to replace the space shuttle. So, and then I find out that here they have this high above sea level Spaceport America out there near Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and maybe this is one of the places where human spaceflight will continue after these cataclysmic Earth changes. And they're high above sea level, and part of that facility in New Mexico is underground, by the way. Go ahead, Peter.
All right. So there is a representative, a congressman from Florida, and in January of 2009, he proposed that the government should, or he put up, or he proposed new legislation saying the government should build some national emergency centers on closed military bases. And if you read his legislation, I don't want to bore you with the text, you'll find out that the text says he wants at least 6 installations distributed around the country. And then there is a huge base closure and realignment that has been going on and started in the late 80s and went well on to the mid 90s. And there's just, I don't know, I've got a 50-page document here about bases that have been closed down or realigned. Well, the interesting thing is they did not build those bases back. They're not in operation. It's just that they're guarded by security, and the buildings are all there. And you know that those could easily be turned to guard, sort of like an inmates in those camps. Also, I got another document here about the... Where is it? I'm sorry, Sheldon. It's about the internment labor program. Let me see where I put it. The legislation is put out, and it's already it's already by law that the only thing that is lacking is the president needs to declare the state of emergency. That's all that's missing. And according to all the executive orders that have been put out, I'm just going to read some headlines to you. Executive Order 10990 allows the government to take over all modes of transportation and control of highways and seaports. And Executive Order 10995, it's about the seize of control of communication and media. The next one, I don't give you the number, is about to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuel. Well, if you follow all these orders, I don't want to eat up your time here, you find out that pretty much everything, what you eat, where you stay, where you go, when you go or you don't go, is regulated by those executive orders and powers, or the executive power in the state of emergency is being handed over to FEMA.
Hey, Peter?
Yes?
What do you think about the safe havens that John Moore talks about, the Missouri-Arkansas Ozarks? Do you know of any other places that may be considered a safe haven to go to?
Well, if you see where the elite, the global elite, are camping out, you see that at the Four Corners, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona, in that area, there's a lot of construction underground there. It seems like the government is relocating to over there. And, of course, the Colorado area, that's the highest mountain, I guess, that we have. Also, there is supposed to be a second capital, which would be Atlanta, Georgia. That would be responsible for governing the east part of the country. John Moore says that after the event, we'll have Mississippi... being a stream, a wide stream, as wide as 50 miles, going from Canada into the Gulf of Mexico. So that would basically divide this nation into two parts. Also, where did the former President Bush buy his land? He went to...
Paraguay.
To Paraguay, yeah. Well, that's the highest mountains in South America, right? The Andes. And the Reverend Moon is his neighbor there. And I hear a lot about people buying land in Costa Rica. There's a plateau which is 2,000 feet high.
Everybody, Peter, that's actually the Andes Mountains there in Paraguay where Bush got that land.
That's right. Thanks for correcting me there. So whoever has the money, they're trying to get as many feet under their location as possible. So if you are living somewhere at the coastline, the only thing I want to tell you is investigate, and you might want to relocate too.
Well, we could buy a boat as well, or build an airplane.
Yeah. Me personally, I'd rather move to the mountains and, like John Moore said, get at least 1,000 feet altitude. And that's what the sort of the classified Navy maps are also suggesting, that because they're leaving their installations on along the coastline. Now, we see some other evidence for a changing Earth, which is the earthquakes and the volcanic activity. You read some articles at the beginning of the show. I have another article that fits in neatly. And I don't know the date of the article. I copied it from the net, and the headline is, "Has methane started venting from seafloor?" Sheldon, did you hear about a lot of coal mines having explosions lately from methane?
Yeah, I've gotten those emails from Ann Morrison. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Hey, by the way, you said you were going to talk to John Moore earlier today. You've never really hooked up with him on the phone. Did you get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him, and we hooked up, and I know that I need to address all emails to him saying private for John. Else it's not going to get there.
Yeah, he's told me the same thing.
All right. I think we're all busy, and stuff just gets falls under the table somehow. Anyway, also, these oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, they're telling us now that that's because of a methane bubble that exploded. I don't know if that's true, but according to this article here from Wayne Madsen, they are reporting that maritime industry sources, like tanker captains, they're reporting an increase on onboard alarms. Because they're having sensors that are designed to detect gases and gas leaks. Well, they're having a lot of false alarms, and what they're finding out is it's not gas that is originated from their ship, but they're having a lot of alarms because of methane coming out of the ocean. Now, little research, why would methane be rising from the ocean floor? And I found a phenomenon, it's called the glacial rebound. If you have a lot of ice melting from the polar region, and actually, believe it or not, it is melting. Global warming is happening, and not because of CO2 emissions, but, for example, I found an article that for the first time they're opening up a new shipping line that they never could use up there across the sea. Anyway, if you have a lot of ice melting, and that will be distributed around the globe, somehow the weight of that ice is distributed differently, right? And if you would look up glacial rebounding on Wikipedia and read through that article, you'd understand that this water is causing the seafloor to sink. So if we hear reports about sinking or rising sea level, that is partially true. But rising sea level would have to rise everywhere equally. But what we see is we have islands sink and some coasts. And there's not a lot of difference, maybe a couple of inches. So this glacial rebound theory says that the ocean floor is sinking.
Hey, we're coming into the break, Peter. We just
that's
didn't have
methane gas, right?
Huh?
That's pushing up the methane, the gas.
I see.
Go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, I hate to do it, but we only have half hour left. I wanted to bring John Donardo on, so I really wanted to thank you for coming on. And I'm definitely going to bring you back, Peter.
Yes, I got lots of news, and not only bad news, but also some good news. So anyway, can I announce my website again?
Yeah, go ahead really quick. The music.
That we chapter126.wordpress.com, and I'm looking forward to listening to John.
All right, well, have a good night, Peter. Thanks for coming on board. We'll talk.
All right.
Okay, folks, we're coming into the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day. Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day, coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, May 15th, 2010. That was a pleasurable phone call we had there with my guest, Peter Keelan, or Keelan, or however you pronounce it. I forgot to ask him that. Anyway, I got John DiNardo on the line now, and my returning guest, John DiNardo, and I guess he'd like to primarily focus on preparations for the public out there. I'm going to bring John on now. Hello, John. Welcome to the Light of Day.
Hi, Sheldon. It's a pleasure being with you. I'm hearing my voice echoing a little bit, but I can deal with it.
Yeah,
I think it's gone away now.
It's taken care of now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, preparation. People, we try to convince people that this Planet X is actually approaching, that it's, as it approaches, we see a great deal of evidence, much of it, all of it ominous. We see weather that is extraordinary, record-breaking weather events. We see flooding, rainstorms. Incidentally, these floods and inundations were reported and recorded by ancient historians during past passages of this planet. As you probably, your audience probably has learned by now, that this planet comes in roughly every 3,600 years. So ancient historians have recorded these inundations. The great famous archaeologist and anthropologist, ancient historian also, Zechariah Sitchin, author of the book The 12th Planet, mentioned in his book that these floods, torrential rains and inundations are one of the first signs of Planet X's Earth catastrophes. And we've been seeing these floods. I've been documenting them on the Weather Channel. I've been recording I have like about 250 hours on many, many six-hour videotapes of nothing but severe weather reports from the Weather Channel. And in many of these reports, you see flooding occurring all over the country. I mean, epic flooding. We saw it in the Midwest. People tend to forget these things. Once it happens, it's big news, and then when it's over, we forget because there's so many occurrences. Texas had record flooding over the last 5 or 6 years. So did all along the Mississippi River. Washington State, Oregon, California, Florida, you just name it. It's Ohio, the entire country, also foreign countries. I remember I have a videotape report of snow in Jerusalem. It's never happened before. I have videotape reports of 262 inches of snow in China. 262 inches. I have got the films of the houses, rooftops covered with snow.
Hey, John?
Entire house covered with snow. Yes.
Well, I want to point out here at the beginning of my show tonight, I was reading an article here about Europe's largest underwater volcano at risk of collapse, the Marsili volcano. The National Institute for Geophysics and Volcanology in Italy found that the volcano is losing magnetism and that its walls are weakening. The geologists say this volcano could collapse at any moment. Well, here we go. Magnetism may cause this thing to collapse, and then me and you know about how the magnetism interacts, how Planet X interacts with our magnetic field and so on.
Yes, I mean, Earth's magnetic field is weakening. It's becoming disoriented, and the Planet X is the primary cause of that due to a couple factors. One is that Planet X and its surrounding horde of comets causes electrical discharges to the sun. Planet X is drenched in plasma, protons, that is positively charged ionized gases, which it had picked up during its penetration of the outer heliosphere surrounding our solar system. And as a result, it's electrified. And so are the comets, thousands of comets surrounding Planet X. In Planet X's gravitational grip, they are also electrified. They discharge into the sun because they're primarily positive in charge, whereas the sun is more negative in charge. And therefore, positive and negative as we know, attract one another. So there is an electrical discharge between the positively charged incoming planet X and its comets and the negatively charged sun.
John?
Sun, yes.
I wanted to ask you here. I got a friend here at my house tonight. He wants to know, you know, with all these recent film releases over the years by Hollywood, 2012, Deep Impact, Armageddon, et cetera, do you think they're conditioning the public to prepare for the passage of this of Wormwood?
That they are conditioning the people to prepare for disasters. I mean, everybody's talking about it now. Even people who are, you know, have been secluded, isolated with the television and the mass media. Now those people are learning through the mass media and through all these fiction movies and references to 2012. Yes, they're all becoming concerned. They have to. There's only when the entire world becomes endangered, even the people who are controlled and paid to deceive the public, those people are going to start becoming more forthright and more honest with the public, because it's a matter of their lives as well as everyone else's. Yeah, their conditioning is definitely getting stronger, and you see a lot of that in the more intellectual television channels, like the Discovery Channel and History Channel, the Science Channel, etc., and the movie 2012. You know, the effects of Planet X now, it appears to be coming in, as we all know, as we've been told, and we're learning from various scientists who have leaked this information over the years. It is coming from the south, from below the Earth's ecliptic plane, and the Earth's ecliptic plane can be visualized as a huge lake, the surface of the lake, not the depth of the lake, but just the surface alone, with a huge blazing sun or light in the center of the lake, and these what I would visualize as beach balls at different points coming at different points out from the center of the lake, each beach ball representing one of the planets in our solar system. And this planet X, from what I've understood from Gilbert Erickson, is that it's not coming at an angle, but it's coming directly from below. So you could visualize it as a huge, something like a huge a killer whale or shark coming up from below the depth of the lake and penetrating the surface and then jumping. Maybe you might picture it as a porpoise jumping over the center sun or light in the center of the lake, over the top of it, and then back down into the lake, back through the depths, down to the bottom again.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to ask you quick, as Planet X gets closer to Earth, do you think that the southern hemisphere is going to be more affected than the northern hemisphere?
Well, right now, I believe that the southern hemisphere is more affected, but it's punching through through this, what you might visualize as the surface of the lake, that it's the ecliptic plane, the plane about which all the planets revolve around the sun. So now, because it's coming up through the ecliptic, it's going to influence and cause trauma to the northern hemisphere more so than the southern hemisphere, I would think. But the entire Earth is going to be devastated. As it comes up, again, visualize something shooting up from the depths of a lake through the surface and up in the air over the sun. As it tries to go over the sun, it's passing over the Earth because it's punching through the ecliptic plane further out from us. And I believe it's coming through the point in the solar system where the asteroid belt is, the orbital plane, the orbital path of the asteroid belt. In past history, ages ago, many people, scientists, well, ancient historians, believe that the asteroid belt, which is a trail of debris encircling the sun in an orbital path similar to our orbital path, only further out beyond Mars, is actually this orbital debris path is actually between the orbital path of Mars and the orbital path of Jupiter. in this debris field, many people believe was caused by a collision of Planet X during one of its passages many, many thousands of years ago. And therefore, it's going to come through again through the same point, that is between Mars and Jupiter. And when it does that, it's going to pass over. If it's coming over the sun, it's got to go over our heads first, over planet Earth's head, or at least over the orbital path of planet Earth. And when that happens, that'll be the closest. And when that occurs, the huge, enormous magnetic field and gravitational field of this planet will actually tip the Earth, tilt it like a teapot.
Hey, John?
And that's what's called a pole shift.
Hey, John?
Yes.
My friend here wanted to... we were both just talking about this. I heard you on William Alex's Progressive Technology Hour show this morning, and you mentioned that you think these recent space shuttle flights have been hauling tons and tons of stuff up to the space station. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. All I can do is suspect what they're doing. I think they're preparing the International Space Station for some of the power elite to temporarily find refuge there from the devastation that's going to occur. I don't see how they're going to do it, because that's a pretty dangerous place to be when you have electrical discharges from celestial bodies like passing comets and the Earth. So that space station is going to present a lightning rod, an attraction to any electrical discharge. But it could be something else. It could be space weapons. And, something that has been mentioned by other people that just came to mind is where they create this grand deception and use it as a Star Wars platform, more or less. It's just speculation on my part. But we all have heard about Project Bluebeam. You probably know about that, Sheldon.
Oh, yeah, old news. They murdered Cern Manasse, the guy up in Canada that was exposing that.
Right. Serge Manasse was on Steve Quayle's program a number of times. And then he suddenly got cancer.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
Well, me and my friend were also talking here back to the space station thing. Do you think that how are they going to be protected from the solar scorching that will happen? Do you think they designed that space station intentionally with special material to withstand those effects?
I don't know. That's so secret that very few people know about what they were actually doing. It could either be a place of refuge, or it could be a platform for Project Bluebeam, where they give us an image of this false Christ, that's Messiah that's coming, and the Messiah will be, perhaps the Antichrist. That's another possibility. So I'm not sure if the grand illusion will be the purpose of the space station, or will it be a place of refuge. However, the solar scorching, they're going definitely going underground for that, within the bowels of Cheyenne Mountain, in and around the Denver, Colorado airport, underneath the Colorado airport in Denver. We've seen vivid videotape film footage of Jesse Ventura's visit, along with his producer Michael Braverman, to the underground facility. Costs trillions of dollars. Dr. Bill Deagle tells us that he has been there when he worked for the government.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking earlier on the phone today, me and you, how John Moore states that, that's that true TV show, that's mainstream. You think Jesse Ventura is really going to tell us the truth unless the elite wanted that information to get out to us? That just doesn't make any sense. And you had your own thoughts on that. Would you elaborate?
Well, it obviously exists. I mean, we know it. We cannot deny what the film is showing us, these huge, 20-ton steel doors that are designed to keep the public out, and the sophisticated facilities, underground tunnels that they have there. And we see mounds and mounds of dirt that's been built up when Governor Ventura and Jay Widener took a ride around the Denver airport. They saw these huge mounds of dirt, indicating that there's been a lot of tunneling going on there. And they saw actual these concrete tunnel channels, canals that were laying on the ground, ready to be installed underground. Now, so I had a friend that used to live in Tucson, Arizona, where you live, and it was about 5 years ago. He told me he's seen those huge mounds, mountains of dirt, all over the place down there. Maybe you've seen them too.
Down here in Tucson.
In Tucson, and around the Tucson area, huge mountains, mounds of dirt piled up in big rows.
Well, I've only lived here 11 or 12 years. I John Moore one day sent me a picture of this massive underground facility they might be building up near Mammoth. And I've also heard one time on George Norrie's Coast to Coast show that there was some type of possible underground facility or something near Red Rock? Yeah, near Red Rock. You ever heard of that?
Is that Red Rock? Let's see. I'm not sure. No, I haven't heard about that, but there are many, supposedly many of them. There's one, there's a Mount Weather facility outside of Washington, D.C., in the mountains, the Appalachian Mountains. So they're going underground, definitely, to evade the solar scorching that's about to come. The movie Knowing, I would recommend that your listeners get the movie Knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, in which they reveal to us in a fictional form that the Earth will be scorched by extraordinary, deadly solar flares coming soon. And we get evidence of that from, again, Jesse Ventura. Now, he's mainstream, but why are they revealing such important information in that Jesse Ventura program? All I can say is it's got to be true. In that program, Jesse Ventura interviews Larry Joseph, and Larry Joseph says the National Academy of Science, which is the closest thing that we have to a scientific supreme court in this country, the National Academy of Science says that solar scorching will cause great devastation in 2012.
It's going to hey, John?
Power grids. Yes.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but I always got something that's sparks something in my mind here. My friend just told me there's some major mining going on near, was it Safford, J.D.?
Safford. It may be mass. It may not be mining. It might be other facilities. We don't know. I was on an airplane flight. A guy was elaborating about it. He was telling me that there are several contracts going on where they're doing deep mining. Whether it's mining or not, I don't know. There's a lot of underground activity going on in South Central in East Central Arizona.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sort of jives with what my friend told me about these huge mounds of dirt around the Tucson area. I don't know if Tucson is near there, but it could be a different location in Arizona where they're doing the same thing. They're building underground facilities. It's obvious, it's very obvious that they're going underground. In fact, at the Denver, Colorado airport, that's shown in this Jesse Ventura True TV program titled Apocalypse 2012, they show the murals, the painted murals on the walls of the Denver, Colorado airport, and these are ghastly murals showing children screaming and dying from fire and heat, and, you know, it's really very telling, which it's sort of portends an ominous future. The movie Knowing, too, shows solar scorching covering the Earth, and the government is telling people in the movie, we cannot help you. Just go start digging as deep as you can underground. And so you have it coming from, you have this information, this warning coming from various sectors of our society. It's going to happen, the solar scorching, and then there will be so many other accompanying catastrophes. There will be tsunamis, because let me give you some clue as to what is about to happen. And I don't want to sound, I mean, I have to tell you the truth, but again, I have to introduce some hope. And the hope is if you can prepare, prepare spiritually, prepare physically, you know the things you're going to need. Water is the first thing you'll need. You're going to be comforted by preparing, by coming closer to God in your mind and your heart. You'll be more comforted by storing tap water. Get as many empty gallons, soda bottles, and empty milk gallons as you can. Plastic is okay. Anything that you can use to contain the water, and store as much of it as possible. Get as many cans of sardines and salmon as you can. You can stay alive on that. Bags of lentils and barley, very cheap, and you can subsist on that also. You can sprout it, put it in a jar, rinse it, and grow sprouts. You can stay alive on sprouts. This will give you hope. That's why I want to give you people hope, and as well as some of the great concerns that we have facing us. The Pope, John Paul II in 1980 was at a conclave of high-level Catholic clerics in Fulda, Germany, F-U-L-D-A. And he was asked, what was the third secret of Fatima, which was never released? It was supposed to have been released, revealed to the people. The secret that the three little girls in Fatima, Portugal, had witnessed from the angels that visited them in 1917. And the Pope replied in 1980 that the third secret is it requires a lot of responsibility to reveal such a secret in which the oceans will spill out of their basins and hundreds of millions of people will be killed instantly. For anyone, and the Pope went on to say, for anyone to reveal such information requires great responsibility, and consider the consequences of telling the people such information. And that was his reply as the third secret of Fatima. Pope Pius XII, I've got information from high-level people in mid-level Catholic Church authorities that came to me with this information, that Pope Pius XII in around the late 1950s was about to reveal the secret, which was promised to be revealed in 1960. So a couple of years before 1960, there was tremendous fervor among all the Catholics of the world. Catholics were saying, I wonder what that third secret of Fatima is going to be. The Pope is going to reveal it in 1960. Well, the Pope died a couple of years before that. And the information I got is that Pope Pius XII read the third secret of Fatima in the presence of Cardinal Ottaviani, O-T-T-A-V-I-A-N-I, and Cardinal Strich, S-T-R-I-C-H, and also the secretary to Cardinal Strich, who was Father Hughes, H-E-W-E-S.
Hey, John?
Oh, those three, yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We only got maybe 3 to 4 minutes left till the end of the show. If you will, please give out your website, email, contact information.
Okay, my email address is planetxnow@yahoo.com. planetxnow@yahoo.com. I don't have a website. But I just wanted to say, though, the Pope was, Father Hughes released this information that the Pope wept bitterly for 2 weeks when he read that. And, of course, he died. He never got to reveal it. And so did Cardinal Ottaviani died and Cardinal Strich died. All three of them died within a short period of time.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Just to wrap it up, back to the Jesse Ventura episode number 12, you told me on the phone that there's a reason why that the producer for True TV would be willing to put an episode like that out. Can you quickly tell the audience that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know, only the highest level people, only a small number of the elite are going to have underground protection, underground facilities. So many people with power and money and influence in the media are going to be shut out. So now they're going to turn their allegiance away from the power elite and start blowing the whistle, because they are going to be victims just like everyone else who's left on the surface to become afflicted by this tremendous solar flaring. So I think they want to... we're going to see a lot of turncoats very soon, and we're seeing it right now, because only a handful are going underground for protection. Everybody else is going to be left up topside to burn. But you can protect yourself. Now, we've got to figure out ways. Dr. Deagle has this idea of geodesic dome. Dome is cool functionally. It has a dual functionality in that it can reflect the light if it's highly reflective, reflect the heat. But
John, hate to do it. The show is done. The show is all done.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for being on. We'll have you back.
Okay, thank you, Sheldon.
Thanks, John. Good night. Well, folks, that's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it tonight. We'll be back next weekend, same channel. Good night.